Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
You're hearing in the natural. Amen. Good things are happening. This Sunday, speaking of good things happening, we're going to have root beer floats for everyone after a second service. So don't miss out on that. The kids are doing a big back to school bash, so they're going to be giving away bikes and scooters and prizes and all types of things. So this Sunday, if you are a kid or know a kid, have a kid, it's a big Sunday for kids this Sunday. Awesome. So great things are happening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles really quick to Isaiah 40. We'll start in verse 28 through 31. I'm really excited about this message tonight. God was really preaching it to me today. And I try to ask God what to share on, if he has a specific word for the church. And I felt like God told me to preach this word for y'all tonight, and it is this. It is, give me this mountain. I think right now there are too many believers who are feeling tempted to hide out in a cave. Maybe the world is trying to push them into a cave, push them off their rightful spot as a light that cannot be hidden. But get out of your cave. Now is not the time for the church to be in a cave, to be pushed into a cave. Now is the time for believers to say, give me this mountain. Yes. You know, there might be some giants out there. There might be some craziness going out there. But, you know, the bigger the giants are, they're going to the best places. Don't let the giants intimidate you. Amen. Just stay out of your cave. I love this, what the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So even when you don't understand what's going on, how crazy things are out there, God is greater than everything. He's greater. His understanding is unsearchable. He has a plan. It's a good plan. It's a miraculous plan. It's a supernatural plan. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So my word for you is, don't become weary. Don't give up. Don't faint. God will renew your strength. Keep trusting in him. He has a good plan. His plans are unsearchable, and God is going to win this battle. God is going to be glorified. Keep trusting him. Don't give up. Don't hide out in a cave. Don't get pushed into a cave. Take your rightful place on top of that mountain. Give me this mountain. This is the day. Now is the time to say that for the church. Give me this mountain now. I know there might be giants out there. My God is greater. I know there might be walls around where we're trying to go. My God is greater than those walls. There might be a lot of people giving up around you, throwing in the towel, turning away. That doesn't change God's promise. That doesn't change his promise. That doesn't change my faith in him, my faith in his word. I don't know about you. Now is the time to get some grit. The church needs to get some grit today. The church needs to be steadfast. The church needs to be bold as a lion. The church needs to say what the psalmist said in Psalm 57, verse 7 and 8. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I love that. I think a lot of people are just waiting around for things to change. I'm just waiting around for the glory to show up. I have good news for you, church. The glory has appeared. We have Jesus. So if you're not feeling glorious, if you're not feeling triumphant, if you're not feeling victorious, you can shout, awake, my glory. It's there. Jesus is inside of you. Resurrection power is on the inside of you as a believer. If you're feeling a little down, feeling like a loser, feeling beat up, feeling like the world, there's too many giants, you say, awake my glory. You don't have to wait for a goosebump. You don't have to wait for some famous preacher to come through on a Wednesday night at Cares. You can just say, I don't care if I like that preacher's shirt or not. I don't care if I like his hair. I don't care if I like how old he is. You can say, awake my glory tonight. You don't have to wait to feel inspired to do something creative. You know, I'm a creative person. I have a degree in the classical music field, in the arts. A lot of people want to, you know, try to tickle the muse that inspires them. The church, you do not have to wait to feel inspiration. We have the inspiration, the very God-breathed scriptures. You can say to your lute, to your harp, awake those creative things. I believe that tonight God is going to awaken some creative ideas in your heart tonight. Maybe you've been trapped thinking a certain way. I just have to do this thing over and over the same way, maybe regarding your finances, regarding your job. I believe that tonight you can say, awaken right now. Awaken creativity. God, give me creative ideas, something outside of the box. I am ready to do something new. Yay! Awaken lute, awaken harp. You can awaken the dawn. I love this. In the realm of the spirit, we don't have to say, well, we'll just wait till tomorrow. This night shall pass. Tomorrow will be better. No, you can shout right now. If you feel like you're going through a night, dark season, you can shout right now. You can awaken the dawn. Why? Because in the realm of the spirit, the sun never fades. The sun never goes out. The sun never dies. Our Son of righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. The sun is alive forevermore, shining in glory. So right now you can say, awaken the dawn. I'm not dwelling in this place of darkness. I'm not dwelling in this. I am shouting right now, awaken the dawn. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. Awaken the dawn. Dawn is in me. The Son of righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. You can shout, awaken the dawn. That is a prophetic psalm. That is a psalm for the church today. Amen. So we can shout, give me this mountain. Let's go to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. I just preached a great message right there. I could send y'all home. And that was just the intro, though, so it gets better. Numbers 13. So my first point is this, in this message called Give Me This Mountain. You have to choose. You have to make an active choice that no matter what, I'm going to believe the word of God with all my heart for all my life. There are too many Christians that have just accepted the doctrine of Christianity, but they've not made that active choice to believe God's word no matter what else. You need to choose to believe the word of God with all your heart, period. I remember I was watching a documentary about Billy Graham. He was in college in Wheaton, and he was just having the struggle kind of believing whether if the Bible is really the infallible, inspired word of God or can I just pick and choose from it? He had this debate going on in his heart, and he said, just by faith, I decided I'm going to believe that the Bible is the infallible, perfect, holy word of God. I committed my being to believing that. And he said, for the rest of my life, whenever I preach this Bible as if it is the infallible, perfect word of God. And as I preached it that way, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people came to know Jesus and got saved. Every believer needs to make that choice. Are you going to believe the word of God with all your heart, or is it just going to be pick and choose? If you want to be the kind of person that can shout, give me this mountain, you need to choose to believe the word of God with all your heart. Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. So the word of God was this, I am giving you the land of Canaan. This is the promised land. This is the land I have given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to all of their descendants. That was the word of God. And people had to choose to believe it or to reject it. To choose to believe it no matter what the circumstance, or just maybe it'll come to pass, maybe not. Maybe it's dependent upon the number of giants in the land. Maybe it's dependent upon this, dependent upon that. No, you have to choose in your heart to believe the word of God no matter what. So that was the word of the Lord. I am giving this land to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were the heads of the children of Israel. So every tribe picked a man, picked a leader to send. The leader from Judah was Caleb, who we're going to focus on tonight. Moses also sent Joshua, the commander of the army, to go spy out the land. So Moses, in verse 17, he tells these spies, spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up this way to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went there, they spied out the land, they brought these grapes back. They were the biggest grapes they had ever seen. They were the tastiest grapes they had ever tasted. They kind of got excited. They got a little taste of the promised land. When these spies went out, when Joshua went out with these spies from each tribe, they got a little taste of the land. They saw what it was like. Man, this is a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Look at these grapes. These grapes are the size of cannonballs. They didn't have cannonballs back then, but they're the size of just big rocks. I don't know. I don't know what big things they had back then, but they're huge grapes. And we got a taste of this. This place tastes good. And this is my word for you all. You need to be of good courage. God wants you to taste and see his goodness, but don't just stop with the taste. Too many people are just get a little taste of the goodness, get a little taste of his promises, and then they see the giants, they see the issues out there, and then, well, thanks for the taste, but I'm going to give up the fight. I'm going to go hide out in my cave. I'm not going to go in this thing with all my heart. God wants you to have more than just a taste of the goodness. He wants you to have more than just a taste of one crop of grapes. Amen. He wants to get you to the promised land. He wants to get you there. So choose to believe the word of the Lord with all your heart. Amen. And this is a really great point here, my next point. When you're going for that mountain, don't let anyone intimidate you. Y'all need to write that down. This is a huge point. There is a whole lot. The devil is weak. The devil is a defeated foe. The only way he can fight a believer is by bullying you with fear or tricking you with deception. That is the devil's only two tactics, fear and deception. And people who allow the devil to work through them, that spirit of the Antichrist, that is their two tactics today. Fear and deception. People want to intimidate you, want to bully you. When you say, give me this mountain, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be courageous, I'm not going to be afraid, that really ruffles the Antichrist spirit. And I know just sometimes when you just take a little step of faith, just a little step up that mountain, man, it really sends some people going berserk. I'm going to try to intimidate you, bully you. You shut your mouth, you little Christian. You know, Just recently, my wife started a Facebook group called Unmask Our Kids Colorado Springs. We have a 7-year-old son who goes to school. You know, he went to school all year last year wearing a mask, kind of, as best as a 7-year-old kid can wear his mask. He would come home with his mask, it'd be covered in mud. We'd be like, what happened? He's like, well, they let us take it off at recess, so I put it under a rock so it wouldn't blow away. And you know, I'm not a medical doctor, but can see this is not the most sanitary thing for a young 7-year-old. So this is my thing as a parent. As a parent, I feel like you should have some say in whether your young children wear a mask or not. As an adult, you can have a say in your own. You know, if you want to wear a mask, great. If you don't, great. That is your choice. If anyone comes in here without a mask, I'm not going to say put a mask on. If anyone comes here with a mask, I'm not going to say take that mask off. That is your choice. You can sit as close to me as you want. You can sit as far away from me as you want. I'm not going to make you come closer to me. I don't spray as much as some other pastors here at this church, but I really value freedom. I believe that God's heart is for freedom. I believe this is a very free nation. And Heather asked me to write a letter, so I wrote a letter. I emailed to every school board member in our school district of D20. I emailed the superintendent. I also emailed 2 county commissioners that serve on the board of El Paso County Health. So last year, the school board, the superintendent said, well, we have to do what the health department has mandated. So I didn't make a huge fight about it last year. But this year, you know, I emailed them all. I'm like, okay, you could hide behind the health department last year, but just so you all know what my opinion of the health department is, they're not always right. El Paso County Health Department is not always right. And the way they treated this church was despicable. Quite frankly, appalling. I let them know, we opened our church. Had quite a few people here beyond the Governor Polis's recommendation on how to do church, which is with 10 people or less, and you know I don't really take advice from Governor Polis on how to run a church. Thank you. I said, you know, we had one staff member who tested positive for COVID-19. The health department then requested every member of our church's contact information. We want every, and we don't even know who's here on a given Sunday. We don't take tally, we don't take a roll call. You know, we have probably 2,000 people who come in and out the doors on a monthly basis here. Quite a few people. We just said, no, we'll announce to the congregation someone here tested positive, you know, on staff. Which we did, but they said, no, if you don't turn all those thousands of people's contact information over to us, they went into kind of, we're going to try to intimidate you and bully you. We're going to turn you over to the media. So no, we're not going to do that. My father said this is not a communist country. And that weekend we had 4 different, you know, news stations here in our parking lot, news crews, Caris Christian Center. And because we didn't have, you know, we only had 1 reported case here, they couldn't label us. I know they really were itching to label us as an outbreak. So if you have 2 cases, you're an outbreak. So they label us as a possible outbreak, I think. And I said, we were the only organization in El Paso County for a year and a half that was blasted like that in the media as a possible outbreak. A couple months later, In-N-Out, just right down the street, had 80 cases of COVID-19, and they never missed a single day of business. But you try to shut down our church. So this year, I don't think you can hide behind what the El Paso County Health Department says is best, because they aren't really serving our community to the best. As a parent, I feel that I should have a right over my child, 7-year-old son, if he's gonna wear a mask, you know, 40 hours a week at school or not. I try to get along, try to be quiet. I'm usually a quiet person. Every now and then my passion volcanoes out of me. You know, the superintendent's very polite. He just said, you know, thanks for, you know, notifying me of your communication. And one of the commissioners is very conservative. He emailed me back and just said, you know, this year the health department will not be mandating anything for the school districts. The school districts can decide at their own level what they'd like to do. And he sent that to everyone on the board and the superintendent. And I felt the spirit move me to post my letter on a website on an app called Nextdoor. You're not supposed to post political things, but I posted this. And, you know, 70% of people agree, hey, a parent should have some say over their 7-year-old kid, you know, if they wear a mask or not. Some people don't really care, but some people, it just infuriates them. And what they try to do is they try to intimidate you, try to bully you. You jerk. I used my formal title in the letter, Dr. Aaron Perdue. Hello, doctor. Just homeschool your kid. Your kid's going to give us all cooties and kill us all. So you stay in a cave. You know, I'm not the greatest skier. I like to ski, but I stay away from the black diamonds. I'm a little scared of them. So I stay on the greens, stay on the bunny hill. But while I'm down there on that bunny hill, I don't shout at everyone on the black diamond, get off that black diamond. I'm scared. Get off the black diamond. It makes no logical sense. If someone, you know, there's knowledge out there, there's research out there. If you feel like your 7-year-old kid is safe enough to go out in public without a mask on, I don't think the government should be mandating that kind of thing. There was one person who disagreed with me who replied in a polite manner, and I spoke back to them. But a lot of people just want to just try to intimidate, try to bully, try to push you in a cave. And that's just not about this situation, what's going on in our world today. That goes around. That kind of thing's been around for a while. Now I saw it several years ago when Trump was first elected and he was appointing different people to governmental positions, and you know, the Congress could hold, you know, committees on, you know, whether these people were capable for these positions. And I remember there was a young man who was being hired for a position, just like an assistant budget person. I don't know, like an assistant accountant over the budget. And this young man had gone to Wheaton, a Christian university, and while at Wheaton, he wrote a paper stating that there's only one way to God, that is through Jesus. And it was kind of a paper dealing with, you know, will Muslims go to heaven? And he said, no, because if a Muslim has rejected Jesus, they have rejected that one way to heaven. And Bernie Sanders is on this committee, a great tolerant leftist, you know. And he said, you know, did you write this, that Muslims will not go to heaven? He said, yes, I wrote it. I'm a Christian. I was at a Christian university. This is part of Christian doctrine, that there's one way to heaven, that is through Jesus. And he just said, well, if you're just that mean towards Muslims, you're not fit to hold a governmental position. So Bernie Sanders was in essence saying that any Christian who believes in one way to heaven, one way to the Father, anyone who subscribes to a very foundational truth of Christianity, anyone who believes like that should not have any governmental position. Therefore, he's saying no Christian should be, you know, work in the White House. No Christian should work in D.C. No Christian should be a police officer. No Christian should be a public school teacher. No Christian should have any place in the public realm. And that's what these people on just this little next door thing are shouting. No Christian should have a voice. No Christian should have a place in the public realm. Get out! Give me this mountain!
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to do school a certain way, that you're a parent, you know your kids. If you think public school, yes, no, whatever. If you think, you know, with your kids, private school, yes, no, whatever. If you think your kid needs to go to Christian school, yes, no, online, homeschool, whatever, that is your right as a parent, but no one should be telling you how to parent your kid. I pay taxes. I'm a member of this public. I'm not shouting at you to get out. I'm happy to accommodate people. Our church is very accommodating. The one person who disagreed with me in a polite way, I said our church tries to be accommodating to everyone. You know, there are some people who haven't been back because they have serious health concerns. We try to make a great online experience for them. We try to call them, reach out to them, minister to them however we can. But we strongly believe that people should have the freedom to worship God how they choose. There were some people early on in the pandemic that contacted me just saying, you know, are you going to enforce masks at your church? I said, no. But I said, if you're still concerned at this point, that's fine. I said, here's my recommendation for you. You know, if you're worried about social distancing, masks, all that, just come to church a little bit late. Sit, you know, we have a huge church. You could sit 200 feet away from people. Come a little late, sit in the back, leave a little early. You don't have to see anyone. You can wear a mask. You can wear a hazmat suit if you want to. I don't really care. That is your choice. But they actually were very, very glad. They're like, that's a great, great bit of advice. You know, we appreciate that we can watch online. But yeah, we'll just come a little late, sit in the back, leave a little early. Then we can be there in person. We'd like that. And they did that for a little while. Not a big deal. I'm here to serve this church. I'm here to serve these people. I'm here to serve you, serve my parents, serve Jesus. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about my opinion. I'm just here to serve. And I think people should be able to worship God how they choose. And don't let anyone intimidate you. The devil tries to intimidate people. That spirit of Antichrist tries to intimidate people. I just decided I will not be intimidated, period. In the days to come, in the years to come, I will not be intimidated. Let's go on here. And this story about the spies who went to spy out the good land, they came back. Let's skip to verse 26. So Numbers 13, verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. There's giants there. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. This sounds like sometimes when I pray for certain people, they're believing God. I believe that. I want breakthroughs in this area. Nevertheless, let me tell you about this and 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 this. And if I believe God's good. Nevertheless, God's word is either true or it's not. His word is not contingent upon the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. God's word is either true, unconditionally true, or it is not. Don't stick your conditions onto God's word. Don't stick your conditions onto his promises. So let's go on here, verse 30. I love that Caleb just speaks up here. Verse 8, Caleb quieted the people before Moses said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." He was committed to believing God's promise, trusting in who God was, trusting in his word, in his promise. He was just itching to go kick some major giant butt. I can't wait to go back there. I saw the best mountain. I saw the best grapes. I know right. The biggest giants were there. But I'm going to that biggest mountain where the biggest grapes are there. I don't care what giants are there. I don't care what walls are. That's where he was just itching to get there. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight." They must have asked these descendants of Anak, "What do you think of us? You're a little grasshopper." What is intimidation? If you're taking notes, write this down. This is a great definition of intimidation that I have for you all tonight. Intimidation is this: allowing someone to identify you as something less than you truly are. Intimidation, allowing someone to identify, to subscribe an identity to you that is less than what you truly are. These spies allowed these giants to intimidate them. They allow these giants to subscribe an identity to them. "You are a grasshopper." That is less than who they truly were. Their true identity was they were the leaders of their tribes. These tribes were descendants of the sons of Jacob. Jacob, who served the one true living God, and all of his descendants, the people of Israel, were this chosen people. That is their true identity. And these men, they were the leaders. Again, in a congregation of probably 2 million people, they were the top 12 leaders of 2 million. And they go there and they allow these non-covenant people to tell them who they were. I'm not going to allow someone who doesn't have a covenant with God to subscribe an identity to me that is less than who I am. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? You are a son of the living God. You are a daughter of the living God. God has made you a king. He has made you a priest. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. You should stand out. Don't let anyone intimidate you. Don't let anyone subscribe an identity to you that is less than who you truly are. Your identity comes from Jesus. I know because my identity comes from Jesus. He subscribes an identity to me that is higher than anyone else can subscribe an identity to me for. I believe that Jesus is saying to you that you are blessed. I died on the cross for you. I brought you into the family. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are blessed by the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. You are blessed coming in. You are blessed going out. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. My children are blessed. They're blessed at school. They're blessed at home. They're blessed online. They're blessed at private school. They're blessed at Christian school. Wherever my feet trod, Wherever my feet trod, I am blessed. Wherever my feet trod, my children are blessed. That is my identity. That is my family's identity. That is my legacy. It is a my descendants will be mighty upon the earth. You are not pushing me out. You're not putting me in a cave. You are not shutting me up. Give me this mountain. So let's go on here in the story. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. The people wept that night. All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So all these, that intimidation that came upon those poor spies, that they passed that intimidation upon the entire congregation of Israel. They passed that fear upon the entire, they passed their own grasshopper mentality, their own poor me, victim me mentality upon 2 million people. They passed that upon all these people. And as they allowed themselves to become afraid and deceived and intimidated, they wanted to change their leader. Intimidated people look for leaders that validate their victim mentality.
That's right.
That is a word from the Lord. I'm going to say that again. So if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're writing in your Bible, this is right next to Numbers 14, verse 4. Let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Intimidated people look for leaders that validate their victim mentality. Intimidated people say this, I am a grasshopper. Grasshopper. I'm a grasshopper. I want a leader who says it's okay to be a grasshopper. I want a leader who say, you are stuck as a grasshopper. There's nothing you can do about it. Right. If I think I'm a grasshopper, then I'm most definitely a grasshopper. So don't even challenge me to try to hop out of this grasshopper bucket. I love what happens in verse 5 here. This is the difference between that leader that intimidated people want to empower versus true God-appointed faith-filled leaders. Faith-filled leaders cannot help but to speak faith. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around them. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. It doesn't matter what's happening politically. It doesn't matter if what's going on, pandemic, whatever. Faith-filled leaders cannot help but to speak faith. They are prisoners of faith. They are prisoners of hope. Popular opinion has zero impact on their leadership style and the truth that comes out of their mouths. Faith-filled leaders, they know it might look tough, but God is going to come through. God's word is always true. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. God is going to come through for you. He loves you. He cares about you. He delights in you. I know this is a very tough situation you're in, but God is going to take care of you. You are not a grasshopper. You are not stuck in a grasshopper bucket. Get out of that bucket. Get out of that cave. Don't give up on God. God will never give up on you. Let's read what they say here. Verse 5, Numbers 14, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out, it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Verse 10, all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. I think God's glory just appeared to tell everyone to back off. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, faith-filled leaders, they did not care about the popular vote. They were going to speak truth no matter what. They were not going to be intimidated. They did not fear for their own lives. God protected them. If God has given you a voice, keep speaking it, keep being a person of faith. God will protect you. He will surround you with his glory. He will surround you with his presence. He will surround you with favor like a shield. Do not be intimidated. Do not back down. Do not hide out in a cave. Let's fast forward. Caleb here is 40 years old. Let's fast forward 45 years. I love this story about Caleb. Caleb, faith-filled people are like Jesus. They are the same. They remain the same. I love people who've been walking, who've been faith-filled people for decade after decade after decade. They are always the same. They are always full of faith, always speaking truth, always just speaking life, being bold, positive, just ready to go from glory to glory. They don't burn out. They get brighter and brighter and brighter until they just shine right into Jesus. I love what happens in this story. Let's go to Joshua 14, verse 6. So when all this was going down, when 2 million people were threatening to stone Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, Moses didn't record this, but Moses had a specific word for Caleb. We read about it here in Joshua. Moses had a specific word, a specific promise for Caleb as an individual. When you're saying, "Give me this mountain," believe the word of God with all your heart. Don't let anyone intimidate you, but remember those specific promises God has spoken over you. Moses spoke a specific word to Caleb as an individual. Moses didn't record it when he wrote his first 5 books. Joshua later recorded because Caleb told Joshua, "Hey, Moses told me something. We're about ready to go into this promised land. Moses had a word for me, had a promise for me as an individual. I've been holding on to this word for 45 years now." Don't forget that specific word that God has spoken over you as an individual. That God, something that God from his word has just brought to life in your heart. Don't forget it. He held on to this thing for 45 years, this very specific word. Let's read about it. Joshua 14, verse 6. So all the tribes had been given their land. Tribe of Judah is coming up here at the end. Caleb now comes up. He's one of the few people who walk into the promised land, who went through the wilderness. Verse 6, Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." So he said, "You know the word. God spoke something specific from Moses to me." said it happened when I was 40 years old. Verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. He had a heart that was steadfast, a heart that was wholly committed after God's word, after God's promise. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day. Because something happened that we didn't read about in the books of Moses. There's something happened that now Caleb is bringing up to Joshua. Moses swore to me on that day. He had a word of the Lord for me specifically as an individual. Moses swore onto me on the day when 2 million people were picking up stones to stone us, but God's glory showed up and protected us. Moses turned aside to me and swore on that day, saying,
thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com. Or call us at 719-418-4000.